Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart. Our first guest has just released her comedy special, Bipolar Baby. It's Beck Charlwood.
Hello, it's me, the Bipolar Baby, in audio form.
So good. It's already kicking off. It came out a bit over a week ago, and it's I think it's already up over 20,000 views or something.
Oh, almost. It's 16,000, but hey, maybe okay, by the time this comes out, it might be 20K.
I'm surprised you round off to the nearest 1,000 there. I really would have liked you to have a very up-to-date to the specific number.
I mean, I've got it on my desktop at all times. I can look at the direct number. We are up to currently 16,771.
I should say that I took it personally because that's already more views than my one released a year ago has. So that felt like an affront to me.
I'm so sorry. You know, I'll take it down until yours catches up and then we'll release it again.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant.
Matt is just the one pole, though. The bad one.
I'm the one pole?
Yeah.
Singular pole.
Well, when it comes to your special, you're always...
Okay, the bipolar thing. Yeah. It took me quite a while to figure out where you're going.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Strong start.
Our second guest this week... is already warming up and is getting ready to tour around Australia with me with our show Dryer Dryer. It's Soren Jaimana.
Hello. Yes. I'm very happy to be here and I'm very excited to be about to tour around Australia.
Yeah. We're going to...
with our show Dryer Dryer.
From January, we're going to...
Perth.
Adelaide.
Melbourne.
Brisbane.
Two really dry cities for two dry boys.
Yeah, that's right. We're only going to dry climates.
The title actually refers to the cities. We're going
There's a big market for us up in FNQ, but we refuse to go. Too tropical. Our third and final guest this week is host of the Do Go On and Book Cheat podcast. He's having a year off festivals. What a lucky bastard. It's carryover champ, Dave Warnocky.
Oh my gosh. Am I actually the carryover champ? Well, that's the nickname I've tried to get.
No, that's going. Yeah, that's just your nickname. It's in inverted commas.
Oh, well, I actually thought maybe last time I was on here, I did win. That'd be nice.
No, you did win last time you were on.
It's true. Finally, I am the carryover champ.
Yeah, you as the mongoose, beat the shark from The Chase.
That's right.
Bright and Coverdale.
Yeah, I beat a game show guy from TV.
That's yeah, he's impressive. Won like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you beat him.
Yes.
And so won you should get those hundreds of thousands of dollars. Is that not what happened?
That's what I was telling him. Honestly, that's what I was telling him. Then he ended the Zoom very quickly.
So the way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and they have to guess which one is correct. First question comes from listener Kayla Hodquitz from Lemoyne in Maine. Lemoyne, Maine. Pretty good. And the question is...
You are my Lemoyne man.
The question is, what does shot clog mean? What does shot clog mean? It's a hyphenated word, shot hyphen clog. And I'll tell the listeners while they're writing their answers, Beck's special, you can see that from anywhere. It's on YouTube. You could watch it right now. You just have to Google Beck Charlwood.
Do it as the same time as the podcast.
Yes.
Double up I think on media.
Yeah. mute one of them, up to you which one, but we both get the download, and that's the main thing in the end, isn't it? I'd prefer to have millions of people download and not listen than, you know, 100 dedicated listeners. Who cares? I should explain to new listeners how the show works. So you get a point for each fake answer that is guessed by another contestant, another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house, and I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question, and I get a point for each one of those that I guess choose. So each of us can score up to 3 points per round, which seems fair, but the probability actually favours me, the house, and the house always wins. So if you've listened to previous episodes, you'll know this is not necessarily the case. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters, and if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogonpod, which is linked in the show notes. I like how Beck's done a rewrite. I love a second draft.
Yeah, a bit of a punch up.
Yeah. That's when you're dealing with a professional. And is your two answers, Serena, or one answer?
It's all one answer.
Okay, great.
And now everyone knows it's long.
No, it's not long. It's just two short bits. Actually, it somehow becomes shorter when the two go together. They didn't know it until you said that, Serena.
You're falling apart over there.
I really am. I think we'll fix it in the edit. All right, the answer in. Here's question number one. What does shot clog mean? The lighting paper that was stuffed down the barrel of old pistols that would help ignite the gunpowder? An unwelcome companion who is tolerated only because they're paying? A Dutch shoey? The technical term...
That's good.
The technical term for mud and debris caught between the spikes on football boots. A 19th century term for a third wheel or cock blocker. Or the Dutch term used in the Dutch equivalent of the sport basketball called basketbog, referring to the moment when a tall Dutchman shoots his footwear into a basket.
I wonder which one of those is Seren's.
I like a definition that has the same word three times in two sentences. I think that's how the Oxford Dictionary normally sets them out. So just quickly, you got the lighting paper for old-timey pistols. You got the person who's only tolerated because they're paying. Dutch shoey. The debris caught between spikes on football boots. Third wheel or cock blocker from the 19th century. Or the Dutch term used in the Dutch equivalent of the sport basketball, referring to the moment when a tall Dutch man shoots his footwear into a basket.
I love how you like sort of summarized all of them except the last one.
I actually, believe it or not, I took out a half a sentence.
No way. No way.
Beck, do you want to have a first crack?
Yeah, I really want it to be an old-timey version of cock block. I think... It has a little bit of vitriol in it. It's like your shot clog. Like he's
that's
clogging
like
a shot.
That should be brought back.
Yeah,
it's like you had a shot and then this clog got in the way.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Yeah,
you clogged my shot.
Yeah. It also kind of has slur energy to it as well. There's certain words where you're like, oh, that's not that. You can just feel it's not nice from the outside.
Kind of like there's just some harsh sounds. Shh, and the cl.
It could be when you cock block yourself because you had a shot but you were wearing clogs. She looked down and she's like, oh.
Clog block.
There's also a croc block. That's another one where you wear crocs.
So you got to lock that one in, Beck?
Yeah, I'm locking it in.
All right. How about you, Saran?
I have never won this game.
Let's be honest, you've never been close. Yeah.
But I also like... I think I like the... The pistol one sounds the most realistic to me, but I can't go past Dutch shoey. It's so funny. I'm going to go with Dutch shoey.
Locking in the Dutch shoey. And what are you thinking, Dave?
Okay. All right. Let me talk you through the board.
Talk me through the board.
The clog, the Dutch. I'm not buying those ones. I'm sorry to say. I'm going to go past that. I was thinking also Beck's answer about the third wheel. I feel like that maybe... I'm doubting the English dictionary definition is using the term cock block, but I feel like maybe it's been brought up to scratch with that.
They're not necessarily taken straight out of the dictionary.
So that one, but also I think the pistol one also seemed actually
plausible.
Legit. So in the interest of having a different answer, I'm going to say the pistol one, please.
All right, locking that in for Dave. So here's who wrote the answers. Now, this first one might shock you. The Dutch term about the Dutch equivalent of basket bog, referring to a tall Dutchman.
shooting
his footwear into a basket.
I guess you could just say Dutchman. You don't have to say tall Dutchman, do you?
No, probably not.
Dude, they're all tall. Aren't they the tallest country?
Yeah.
That was Saran. Yeah, people are shocked.
Whoa.
It's because you told them that there were two messages, man.
That's definitely it.
The technical term for mud and debris caught between the spikes on football boots, that was Dave Warnocky.
Plus, no one even mentioned it, so thanks a lot, everyone.
Did it end up getting left off the final list as well?
That was actually a good one as well, yeah.
I have begged for a compliment there, and I appreciate it.
But it didn't have any like relevance to the word, I think. That was why.
A shot clog.
Well, you don't know what the root words are here. It could be Latin or something.
Yeah,
for,
true.
For
yeah.
Football boots. We don't know. Then we had a 19th century term for a third wheel or cock blocker, which Beck went for. That was Kayla, a.k.a. the house. There's a point for the house there. Kayla also wrote the one about the lighting paper stuffed down the barrel of old pistols.
Kayla was on fire.
A Dutch shoey, which Saran went for. That was Beck. Meaning the correct answer is an unwelcome companion who is only tolerated because they're paying.
Ah.
Such a great word and such a great little niche.
Oh my God, I've been a shot clog my whole life.
I can't wait for all of us to do bits about everyone's got a shot clog in their life.
I really think we could bring back shot clog. It's a sort of a defunct word now, but that means 2 points to the house, 1 point to Beck. After one round. So we're up to question number two. This one comes from Norm with an exclamation mark. From Beaverton in Oregon. And Norm!
You gotta say Norm!
And Norm's question is, what official Guinness World Record was achieved on the 17th of March 2023 in Portland, Oregon?
Wow, that's recent.
Recent record. Dave's always got an advantage here because he's a real record nerd.
That's not true. I used to do a show where we broke made-up world records. It doesn't count. It doesn't help too much. I suppose here I am making up a world record.
Exactly.
Okay, sorry, I'll take it back. My whole life has led to this moment.
While you're writing your answers, here's some more info on shot clogs. Kayla, who wrote the question, she said she got the definition from Susie Dent, the great word nerd from... one of the English quiz shows. And what's the English version of Letters and Numbers?
8 out of 10 cats.
Yeah, she's from
Countdown.
That. Countdown, yeah. She's from that.
Is that the one that Jimmy Carr's always like, she's a slag? You're like, okay, let the lady have her words, please, sir. Every single time he's like, she loves cock. She's just full of it. And you're like, oh,
have
my
you written
God.
For Jimmy?
Beck is really much, Jimmy.
Like you could write in his voice.
Yeah. I have sent him several messages, which have all been left on read.
That is. He's one of so the rudest rude, dudes, dude. Actually.
Come
famously
on.
A rude dude, Jimmy Carr. So while you're writing those answers, Merriam-Webster writes, the shot in shot clog refers to a charge to be paid. It's a cousin to and synonymous with a Scot. A word likely only familiar to modern speakers in the term scot-free, getting off scot-free, meaning completely free from obligation, harm, or penalty. The origin of the clog part of shot clog is less clear. Perhaps it's meant to draw a parallel between a substance that impedes a pipe's flow and a person who impedes a good time. Or perhaps companions' tabs accumulate before the shot clog as so much dross in a clogged pipe while the shot clog yammers on unawares. The 17th century playwright Ben Jonson was particularly fond of shot clog, and while the word is no longer in regular use, it might work for you as a suitable old-time insult for that person in your party who is fine to have around so long as they pick up the tab. Saran shot clog Jayaman. All right. The answers are in for question number two. What official Guinness World Record was achieved on March 17th, 2023 in Portland, Oregon? The largest fixed-gear bicycle meet was held, with 17,000 bearded weirdos turning up to Knob Hill. The largest gathering of people wearing their underwear on the outside of their pants. The most Birkenstocks worn within 1 square mile. Paddy's Irish Pub produced 1,000-litre Irish coffee, the largest ever made. Rosie, the African grey parrot, officially became the longest-serving animal mayor, passing her 25th year holding the honorary title.
25 years.
I just, for American, this is Maya.
Maya.
Animal Maya.
Not animal horse.
No. It'll finally, a record number of potatoes were consumed by a record number of people wearing the color green. So you got biggest fixed gear bike meet, people wearing underwear on the outside of their pants, most Birkenstocks worn, the biggest ever Irish coffee, the animal mare making it through 25 years, or record number of potatoes being consumed by people wearing green.
Right. Is it St. Patrick's Day on that day?
Yeah, 17th of March.
Mm.
So yeah, that is a
couple of
Day.
Irish options.
Yeah. Did you say 17th?
17th of March, yep.
Okay, there you go.
I think we're up to Seren.
To guess.
Great observation, Dave.
Yeah, maybe that someone else is trying to throw us off the scent.
See, this is what I'm talking about, Beck. This is how good he is. World records. He can. He just zones in on the details.
I'll sniff him out.
Yeah.
It is an important detail. I hadn't thought about it until you just said it. And then I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh. Is maybe it gonna maybe steer I read an Irish one. I'm trying to steer you.
Yeah. Oh.
I do like the probably the I reckon it's the Irish, what is it, the Irish coffee?
There's either the Irish coffee or potatoes.
That feels like a stunt that a both of them feel like stunts.
How big was it again?
Pub would do
1,000 liter.
It's huge.
Is that like a pool size?
Yeah.
Like what,
how many
Olympic
pools
like 1,000 liters?
Would 1,000 liters be?
What is it, like 1/50th or something?
1/50th of an Olympic pool. It's not that impressive when you put it like that.
It's basically a puddle.
So
in
it's like a plunge pool.
And then going, this is a lot less impressive than I thought it was going
to be. Yeah, especially if it's just a brown
splodge
in the middle of a clean Olympic pool.
And Ian Thorpe standing next to it going, huh?
Looking sheepishly.
Huh? Pretty good.
Yeah, but he wouldn't sleep for days. Still a lot of coffee. He's made the mistake of comparing them to a pool size. Yeah. It's still actually quite a lot of caffeine.
So you're going to lock that one in?
I mean, and also then that would lead to a ton of other records being broken.
Yeah, that is a lot of coffee. But it's also a lot of whiskey. So do they counteract each other?
Oh, that's what an Irish coffee is.
I think so. I think it's Irish whiskey in a coffee.
But do you reckon they had to, like, for the record to be true, it had to be to scale, so to speak. So you had to have the right amount of whiskey, or they could be really tight and still just put one shot of whiskey.
A drop of both, yeah.
1,000 liters of coffee.
So that's your story. What do you think, Dave?
Well, it's either that or the potatoes, because I definitely think it's an Irish theme. I'm going to go with the coffee here.
All right, coffee for Saran. What do you think, Dave?
Okay. What were the non-Irish ones? Just in case.
Bicycle meat, underwear on the outside, Birkenstocks, and the parrot mare.
Right.
Or parrot Maya.
It really is it's a hipster famous stronghold.
So, yeah, the two main things we've got here, and it seems like the two main things people have taken out of it, it's a big hipster town on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, and they love bird mares.
They love a bird mare. Well, it doesn't get much more hipster than electing a bird mare, does it?
Yeah, that feels...
I don't understand what hipster means.
Yes, you do. That feels like a wild card one, the mayor, but maybe that could be it.
Well, because it's 25 years.
Yeah, and birds, those parrots, they live forever.
Yeah, it feels short, if anything.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you think it's not that impressive? Yeah. Who cares?
She clocked up 25 years at least a decade ago.
Oh, yeah, I see.
I'm going to go with the bird.
Go the bird.
Go the bird. Fly the bird.
Right, Dave's looking in the bird. Beck, that leaves you.
I was going to go the bird as well.
You can do that.
I think I'm going to go the bird Maya as well, because it will make me the most happy if it's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's who wrote the answers. Our largest fixed gear bike meetup at Nob Hill. That was the house.
Nob Hill is a great detail.
I Googled suburbs of... It's a real place in Portland. I forgot where it was. The largest gathering of people wearing their underwear on the outside of their pants. That was Dave Warnocky.
That's right.
Bit of a superhero type theme, is it?
Yeah, I was thinking superheroes. Yeah,
after all your years of making up records.
But that's the kind of thing that like people who are coming up with a boring flash mob would come up with that.
Because
it's achievable. It's actually achievable.
As is most Birkenstocks worn within one square mile, which was Beck. record number of potatoes being consumed by a record number of people wearing the color green. That was Saran. And he worked hard. He worked hard to get you over there.
I think it was my original answer that I sent you made specific reference to St. Patrick's Day, which you took out.
So this is how he wrote it originally. As the 17th of March is St. Patrick's Day, I'm going to say something like a record number of potatoes were consumed.
You nearly steered me towards it, I gotta say.
I thought it was good work there, Saran. It was the first time I've seen you try. And it looked good on you. Rosie the African grey parrot becoming the longest serving animal mayor.
No.
That was Norm, aka the house.
Good on you, Norm.
Meaning the correct answer is Paddy's Irish Pub produced 1,000-litre Irish coffee. The largest ever made.
St. Patrick's Day.
I discounted that because they love a gallon over there. So I was thinking, they don't even know what that is.
Oh, that's funny because Norm translated it into terms we could understand. It actually was 246 gallons or something like that. What a man, Norm.
Thank you, Norm.
Thanks, Norm. He does his homework.
So polite, Norm.
So that means a point to Saran. And again, 2 points to the house. This is a rare time where the house is out in front. After two rounds, we got Dave on 0 points, carryover champ. Beck on 1 point, Saran on 1 point, but the house out in front on 4 points.
Oh, God.
So here's question number three. This one comes from Penny Privett from Tarneet in Melbourne. And Penny's question is, which one of these is a real species of deep sea fish? So you just basically got to make up a species of deep sea fish. And while you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about this massive Irish coffee. According to Norm, on St. Patrick's Day 2023, Portland's oldest Irish pub, Paddy's, broke the previous world record for largest Irish coffee. They surpassed the previous record of 888 litres, or just under 235 gallons, with their cocktail which totaled 1,000 litres, or 265 gallons. Ingredients were all donated, including 165 gallons of coffee from the local Umbria coffee roasters, 25 gallons of heavy whipping cream from the local Alpenrose dairy, and 50 gallons, or 125 bottles, of Kilbeggan Irish whiskey. Once the brew was finished and documentation collected for Guinness, individual pours from the giant vat were sold, with proceeds donated to the Children's Cancer Association, a Portland-based non-profit that provides music programs and other activities for children with cancer or serious illness. Oh, that's sick. Love when they turn a really stupid thing into a good thing. All right, the ads are in for question number three. Which one of these is a real species of deep sea fish? Pelagic fang snout. The blind Skangluka anglerfish. Fancy Kevin. Stoplight loose jaw. The Pacific gooch fish. Or potbellied Rhonda.
Those are some great names. Great names.
I mean, can I clarify the question?
Sure.
Is it a species of fish or is it a name? What, just what are their names? Because yeah. It could be all of the above named Fancy Kevin.
Yeah, it was just individual. Any of the,
yeah, yeah.
I know this is an audio medium, but I would have loved if we had to draw the fish as well.
That's a great idea.
I really want to see Fancy Kevin more than anything. Yeah.
He's in a lounge suit.
If any, because we got some great illustrators who listen. If anyone wants to draw each of these fish, I think that would, you know, if you're looking for something to do.
Please draw okay Potbelly Rhonda and Fancy Kevin. Those are my top two requests.
Yeah, they're the only two I can remember. Can you repeat them, please?
Yes, can do. So we had the pelagic or pelagic fang snout, the blind Skangluka angler fish, Fancy Kevin, stoplight loose jaw, the Pacific gooch fish, or the pot-bellied Rhonda. I think, Dave, it's your first.
No, that's why I'm really thinking about this time. What is it, the blind Skangluka?
The blind Skangluka angler.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm gone with that.
Well, is it the blind thing? Because they are often blind down there, right? Mm.
Well, there's nothing to see.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here. Keep moving. Yeah, that's what they're always like. They're very very private.
Shut a torch on. They're like, whoa.
Hey, hey.
One more bit of privacy, please.
Please. Occupado. What do you reckon, Beck?
Oh, look, my heart prays that there is a fish called Fancy Kevin, but I don't want to lose. What was the one after Fancy Kevin?
Stoplight loose jaw.
I'm going to go with stoplight loose jaw.
All right, lock that in for Beck.
back.
What was the very first one? Sorry.
Pelagic fang snout. Or pelagic.
Yeah, I think it's the pelagic fang snout.
Okay, we're going in for a surround.
That sounds nasty.
Yeah, they are nasty down there.
Horrible stuff down there. Fancy Kevin, like fancy what, for a deep sea fish? So, still pretty awful looking.
Yeah, for a regular fish, he's like only a two.
Yeah.
But down there, it's a solid eight.
It's the only reason he moved down. It's actually not really suited to the conditions at all.
Yeah, he used to live in the city, but he was looking for a sea change.
Hey.
See? He's the one in here for the
trials. All right, I'll pick up my game map. Fuck.
Maybe we should call our show Try a Trier.
All right, here's who wrote the answers. Pot-bellied Rhonda. That was Dave Warnocky.
That's me.
That was fantastic. That's Fancy Kevin, that was Penny, a.k.a. the house.
Penny, absolute MVP.
The Pacific...
P standing for Penny.
Very important Penny. Yeah. The Pacific Gooch Fish, that was Saran Jaimana.
Nice.
Gooch Fish. I thought about it.
That means one of you is correct. The pelagic fang snout. Saran went for that. That was also Penny. So point to the house there. The blind Skangluka angler, which Dave went for. That was Beck.
That's great, though. Can you talk us through your workings
Beck actually gave it a slight description as well. A rare deep sea fish that has no eyes.
Oh. The blind Skangluka.
What does Skangluka... Yeah, what's Skangluka?
I was like, what are some fish sounds? Like, I was like, scar. I've definitely heard of like scar, that feels fishy to me. Gang, that's fishy as hell. I think I don't need to explain that. Luca, that's just kind of fancy on the end there. I think it makes it a bit exotic. You're like, ooh, this sounds like it's
the
European.
The Pixar movie Luca was about an Italian fish man.
And that was also why I thought of it. And that's why I thought I might have only connected those dots now, but that's what I was visualizing. And thank you for saying exactly what I was definitely thinking.
Did you get pot-bellied Wanda? Is that from a fish called Wanda?
That was Rhonda.
Oh.
Rhonda and Katoot? Is that what you're thinking? So that means Beck is also correct. Stoplight loose jaw.
Yay! And two for two.
You got to see this fish. It is...
Does it have a light on its head?
Is it yeah, under its eyes, it's got red and green lights.
Whoa.
It is...
Whoa!
It is...
That jaw is also loose as hell.
Oh, my God. Oh, I just read the caption under that, and it says, a spotlight loose jaw named Fancy Kevin.
Look, hey, I mean, the loose jaw would be great for sucking dick if it wasn't for all those teeth.
The teeth. They were pretty sharp teeth.
Pretty sharp. Is that God funny enough,
with one
Matt?
Hand
is that
and
good?
He takes
is
another,
that okay?
You know? That's funny stuff, Beck. I think we'll all agree Ooh. That that is funny stuff. And funny is funny. So 2 points to Beck that round. 1 point for the house. Meaning Dave still yet to score. Saran's on one. Beck's on three now, but the house still out in front on 5 points. So we come up to question number four. This one's from Emily from Leicester in the UK. According to Alan Moore, what near disastrous mistake was made when planning the new English town of Milton Keynes in the 1970s?
A mistake was made.
Oh my gosh. According to Alan Moore, what near disastrous mistake was made when planning the new English town of Milton Keynes in the 1970s. While you're writing those answers, here's a little more info about the stoplight loose jaw. According to Penny via oceana.org, the stoplight loose jaws are small deep sea dragonfishes. The stoplight loose jaw is named for the two specialized light producing organs that are located below each eye. One is green and one is red. Producing light in these two colors increases the ability of the stoplight loose jaw to see and attack its prey. Just a really amazing looking fish.
I couldn't believe that that's real. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I get... Because it's like...
Almost neon.
And the ones that are taken of dead ones obviously don't look... They look spooky, but they don't look as impressive because the lights have gone out in their eyes.
That's really sad.
Yeah. Well, it'll happen to you when you get to my age, Dave. The weight of the world ends up catching up with you. All right, while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back, and and the answers are in. Here's question number four. According to Alan Moore, who I believe is like a...
So this is the comic book guy?
The famous comic book guy.
Oh my gosh.
What mistake was made, and he knows about it because he was working as an engineer or something.
Oh, really?
What mistake was made when planning the new English town of Milton Keynes in the 1970s? The plans showed that all fire hydrants should be connected to gas mains. The planners accidentally designed a loop of road that led nowhere and could not be exited. They nearly named it after two complete and utter nobodies, which would undoubtedly have been a disaster. Luckily, Milton Friedman and John Maynard Keynes became two of the most influential economists of their time. Thank heavens.
That's a Soren answer if I've ever heard one.
So you're an accountant, right?
They forgot to put doors on any buildings. The new town hall was built with the main foyer on the second story with no way of accessing it. Or finally, not enough milk.
Okay.
That's it? Not enough milk?
Not enough milk. Well, no, sorry, exclamation mark.
Like Norm.
Yeah. Not enough milk.
I feel like there's only one of those which points to it being nearly a disaster. The rest of them are all clear disasters. Not enough milk, that's a disaster. No doors on any buildings, that's definitely a disaster. The other ones.
Well, I mean, I think they're all, because it was in the planning, so I think they're all...
Oh, they were rectified.
They were rectified.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't there. So maybe they are all still mistakes that... continue to this day.
Love this road that you get onto somehow and then you can't get off. Yeah. By the way,
it's like a rat trap. Yeah.
Or you're like, you know, round and round in a well.
Yeah.
And you can't get back up.
It's like an Escher painting or whatever. Doesn't quite make sense.
Whoever discovered that is probably still in there
today.
We're so grateful that they made that call, but we'll never see him again.
The ultimate sacrifice.
They just got a loop around. Whoa, 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 kill me. Whoa. I think we're back to back to kick us off. Do you need them summarized?
I think I know the correct answer. Okay. That's not too crazy to say. I think the most disastrous of all the answers is the gas mains to fire hydrants. I think that's the most diabolical and disastrous, so I'm going to lock that one in.
Even more than milk. Okay.
Even more.
Not enough milk.
But they still have some milk.
There's some milk.
There's a level of milk.
Yes, but we're going to have to ration it.
Yeah. It depends how many lactose intolerant people were in the city.
Yeah, that's the gas mains they're talking about.
Okay. It says not enough milk. It might be not enough varieties of milk. So there's no lactose intolerant.
Right. Oh, true. No A2.
Yeah, people are going, where's the oat milk? all right, Soren, what do you reckon?
That's so disastrous. That would be great. Do you think that could happen?
Is it possible? Because gas surely doesn't travel, like water pipes are much bigger, right?
Yeah.
Are they?
I would have thought so. I think... that the doors, yeah, this is really hard. I don't know how Beck was so confident.
I don't know either.
She's Googling. I saw her go to the bathroom and
definitely rule out the one that I wrote.
Don't tell us that because I don't know which one it was yet.
Can I hear him one more time, please, Matt?
Yep, so the fire hydrant's connected to gas. The road to nowhere.
Which I love.
Luckily, Milton and...
Is that what that
Keynes,
song was written about?
I think it was, yeah. Yeah, they wrote it after an English tour.
Which they... It's still going.
Forgotten to put the doors on. Not enough milk. or the foyer being inaccessible on the second floor?
Yeah, I think that's it. The foyer.
Foyer.
Inaccessible.
Okay. Can we have the John Maynard Keynes one again?
They nearly named it after two complete and utter nobodies, which would undoubtedly have been a disaster. Luckily, Milton Friedman and John Maynard Keynes became two of the most influential economists of their time. Thank heavens.
I mean, oh, because it's called Milton Keynes.
Mm.
Oh, that does.
Don't yeah, play dumb, Seren. Come on. This is some amazing acting from you right now.
MCU, Marvel Zone.
Oh, yeah, some listeners might not know you for you yeah. exist in the MCU.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go with my heart, which is the road to nowhere that goes around and around and you're trapped on it forever and ever and ever.
Okay, locking that in for Dave.
I love it.
Here's who wrote the answers. The one about Milton Friedman and John Maynard Keynes was Seren.
What?
Had you all fooled.
Are they real people? Real economists?
Yeah.
And is that really who that town's named after?
I don't know, but it's a pretty big coincidence.
Yeah. But it's weird that they took the first name of one and the surname of the other.
Yeah, that is why, as I was writing it, I sort of convinced myself it wasn't real.
They've got to put doors on any buildings. That was Dave Warnocky.
Yeah, but imagine, that would be a disaster.
Yeah.
They realised too late.
Especially if they built themselves into the building. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, great.
All right, we'll just finish off the plaster.
Oh no. not enough milk. That was Beck. Did you mean it as in, yeah, the quantity or the variety?
I honestly just the first thought was not enough milk in that accent. Not enough milk in Milton Keynes. It felt right.
The town hall had the foyer on the second story with no way of accessing it. Saran went for that. That was the house.
Okay.
As was the planners accidentally designed a loop of road that led to nowhere. That was Emily in particular.
Beautiful.
So 2 points for the house.
Took me on a journey.
And that means Beck is correct. The plan showed that all fire hydrants should be connected to gas mains. Which obviously, yes. Yeah, that was a near disaster.
If only my ex-trivia teams could see me now.
But you've been banned for life.
I have, yes. Well, not banned, just never invited back and left off a lot of group chats.
All right, we're up to question number 5. This one comes from Joff from Colac, from LOL Radio. And Joff's question is this. Weird Al Yankovic is famous for his song parodies. What is track 11 on his album Poodle Hat? And what song is it spoofing? Or spoofing?
Spoofing?
Probably spoofing, isn't it?
So I mean, unless it's jizz related, then it could be spoofing.
Well, I'm just asking the question. I don't know if it's jizz related or not, okay? And while you're writing your answers, here's some more info about the planning era. In an interview, Alan Moore said, I used to work for a gas board subcontractor in the 1970s, and at one point, probably because I'd offended with one of my jolly witticisms, one of the people in the office, I got banished to a gulag, which was Milton Keynes, which is not super kind about Milton Keynes. Or rather, Milton Keynes was barely there. It was a little village that was more or less dying on its ass, and it was decided that it would be rebuilt as a new town. I remember when a couple of the labourers there came into our site while one of the planners was there, pointing out that as far as they could see, all the fire hydrants were connected to the gas mains. And he said, don't be silly. Give it here and I'll explain where you've made a mistake. Look, it's good to have somebody notice that before it all blows apart. So he's apparently, yeah, he's just like, I mean, we're taking this as truth from an interview that's been written up online from Alan Moore, from a recollection of his from the 70s. So I think this definitely happened. But it's so funny, the plan is like, all right, you little labourer, come over here. I'll show you how you're misreading my plans. Oh, shit. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. All right, answer in for question number 5. What is track 11 on Weird Al Yankovic's album Poodle Hat? It just tickles me in itself.
Poodle Hat.
The cover of the album, it's Weird Al, right? With a poodle on his head.
Where does he get his ideas?
I don't know. I don't know. What is he like?
The man is a genius.
All right, so here are your options. The Chode Goes Nowhere, a parody of Road to Nowhere by Talking Heads. Macaroni, a parody of the Macarena.
That's good.
Hey,
that's
Macaroni.
Macaroni.
What I Bought on eBay, a parody of the Backstreet Boys' I Want It That Way.
Again, that's good. Honestly nailed the brief. Jesus.
Standing in the Home of a Mole, parody of the gossip Standing in the Way of Control. Wear No Pants, a parody of Lady Gaga's Bad Romance. Or Just Like Bevan, parody of The Cure's Just Like Heaven. I think Bevan's a friend of Weird Al.
They're all great.
Okay. Where are we up to? Question five. I think we're up to you, Seren.
Oh.
Chode Goes Nowhere, Macaroni, What I Bought on eBay, Standing in the Home of a Mole, Wear No Pants, or Just Like Bevan.
What was Standing in the Home of a Mole a spoof on?
The gossip Standing in the Way of Control.
Okay.
Great song. His
And what year was the album? 2011.
No, I don't think I said that. I don't know the year. Track 11.
Oh, track 11.
Yeah.
Deep. It's a deep cut.
Lady Gaga feels like, if it's a more recent, if Poodle Hat's more recent, maybe he would spoof Lady Gaga.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
She's ripe for the spoofing.
And what was her track?
Her track was Wear No Pants, a parody of Bad Romance.
Yeah, I'm going to lock that in.
Okay.
It sounds both like a... That sounds like a title, a song. That,
it would be towards the saucy end of his work. I've learnt recently that he's very G-rated.
Oh. But if you are going to spoof Wearing No Pants...
Mm.
That's preferable.
It's preferable.
Yeah. Good point. Dave, what do you think?
I really loved both Macaroni and What I Bought on eBay. I can... Because, like, yeah, now you've said that about it, he doesn't go too...
Yeah.
So it's saucy, like, too sexy. It's just silly.
Yeah. It's more normal Al Yankovic, don't you think?
Yeah. Nothing weird about that guy.
Everyone's used to what he does now, so it is actually, like...
Classic Weird Al.
If he just wrote real sincere earnest songs, that would be weird.
Yeah, his songs are like, I Caught the Bus.
Yeah.
Isn't there one, like, and they're just food things?
Eat it. Another one rides the bus.
Rides the bus. That's right.
Classics. What is it? Virus Alert. That's another one.
What's that? What's that spoofing?
I don't know if that's spoofing anything. I think maybe.
Yeah, some of them they're just
originals.
He does poker originals and he does style parodies. So he'll do like, you know, this song is in the style of Cat Stevens, but not a direct Cat Stevens song.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so...
I'm going to go with the eBay one, Backstreet Boys.
Okay, eBay for Dave. What do you think of Beck?
I think I have to go with eBay as well, just because, and I don't mean to brag, I do know it is an actual Weird Al song. I do know, I'm familiar with quite a bit of his discography, and going to use that knowledge to my advantage here. As we've established, I'm in it to win it. I'm not here to have fun or be funny.
But is... Matt, are you now panicking because you're like, that is not the answer I have? Oh, my God.
That's why I was very specific. Track 11 on Poodle Hat. All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Just Like Bevan, parody of The Cure's Just Like Heaven, with a bit of extra information here. Weird Al sings about his friend Bevan, who was a bit of a character. Now, listeners at home, it's Sorens, but no, it's Dave Warnicki's.
That's right.
Excuse me? Listeners at home, we're not going to say it's like
Sorens. I thought that we had to give a bit of what the song is.
No, just what it was parodying.
What
parody.
It was spoofing, yeah.
What it was spoofing.
Yeah, okay. So that's why I took a bit longer than everyone. Sorry, everyone. I actually wrote the whole parody if you want to hear it.
Are you? Oh, okay, yeah. And some backstory.
Yeah.
He met Bevan at a bus stop.
The Chode Goes Nowhere. That was Sorens. It was funny it was a funny coincidence. I don't know if you realize this, but we were just talking about.
Yeah, that's why listeners would have known that one was me.
Macaroni, that was Beck.
That's great. Perfect. Pitch perfect.
That is. Now that I know you're a fan of Weird Al, I know not to use these kind of questions when you come back on. And also, I know that's why you nailed the brief. Took a big song and turned it into a food song.
Yeah, I'm familiar with this process.
Yeah. Standing in the home of a mole. That was the house. And I think I accidentally really laughed at that when I read it out, which I apologize for. Every now and then, I just come up with a genius thing. I can't help myself. Wear no pants, which Seren went for. That was Joff. Oh, okay, well the
done,
house.
Joff. Well done, Joff.
Meaning the correct answer was what I bought on eBay.
Okay.
Or it's actually known as eBay, but it's funnier to use the full what I bought on eBay. I'll give the listeners some of the lyrics soon while you're writing your next answer. We're up to the second last question. It's question six. Comes from Hannah and Iggy from Brisbane. And the question is, what happened in Queensland, Australia on the 11th of November, 1993? What happened in Queensland, Australia on the 11th of November, 1993? And while you're writing those answers, let me tell you more about that eBay song. Caught a Weird Al himself in a Music Radar article titled My 10 Greatest Song Parodies of All Time. This one made his top 10. He said, this was a surprise because it was never intended to be a hit single. It's from the album Poodle Hat, on which I had the song Couch Potato, my Eminem parody. That's the one I thought would be a hit. We didn't do a video for Couch Potato on Eminem's request. Meanwhile, the eBay song really caught on and went viral. It's been one of my most downloaded songs on iTunes. I was going to shoot a video for eBay, but right at the same time, eBay started doing all these commercials with song parodies. I think they did Frank Sinatra's My Way, as I did it eBay. I didn't want my parody to come off as a commercial for eBay. In retrospect, I probably should have done a video because it would have been one of my biggest hits. And with lyrics like this, you can understand why. A used pink bathrobe, a rare mint snow globe, a Smurf TV tray I bought on eBay. My house is filled with this crap. Shows up in bubble wrap most every day. What I bought on eBay. Tell me why I need another pet rock. Tell me why I got that elf alarm clock. Tell me why I bid on Shatner's old toupee. They had it on eBay. And it goes on. Just a brilliant song.
So he bit
by a brilliant artist.
Shatner's old toupee. Yeah. He nommed on it, like,
A bit. I think it's bid. Yeah, maybe. I read it as, like, he made a bid on it, but you're right. Maybe
he bid. I thought you said a bit with a T. And I was like, I have always wondered why people would buy other people's hair on eBay, and it makes the most sense that they would try and eat it in some way. Yeah.
Eat it. Another classic Weird Al phrase. I think he coined
that. See, you're learning. You're learning.
That's what I'm here for. The main reason I'm here is to learn. All right, the answers are in. Here is question number six. What happened in Queensland, Australia on the 11th of November, 1993? The big Sheila was stolen from the Mitchelltown Square, kicking off a statewide manhunt for the culprits. To this day, it has never been recovered.
The big Sheila?
The big Sheila.
Oh, God.
That does feel like a missing Aussie icon that I would watch a three-part documentary about.
Yeah, yeah. Finding Sheila.
That's good.
The first Nike store opened and gave away free shoes to the first 1,000 customers. A near riot ensued when it was revealed the shoes were in fact miniature models and not wearable. During the minute silence at a local RSL, the Guinness World Record for the longest fart was inadvertently recorded. When looking back at the footage, the fart was noticed and sent off to Guinness for verifying. It can now be found, audio and all, on their 1995 listicle. Savage Garden did their first ever live performance at the Grand Plaza Shopping Centre in Logan.
A monumental event.
A banana farmer armed with automatic rifles and chainsaws performed a heist of palm tree seeds. Or a minute silence was observed in respect for Remembrance Day. However, it was 1 hour later than the other major capital cities on the eastern seaboard due to the inability of cows to cope with daylight savings. Nothing about a fart in that one. I wonder if it was the same one. So you got the big Sheila, the Nike store, or Nike store. You got the longest fart at the RSL, Savage Garden's first gig, the banana farmer armed heist, or the daylight savings, meaning Remembrance Day, was observed an hour later. I think we're back to you, Dave.
How long do you reckon the longest fart is?
A minute.
Because it would have to be. It's a maximum minute, right?
Yeah.
Because then that's.
Because someone would say stop that after the
yeah. Everyone's going, I can't tell him to stop because I'm observing a minute's silence.
At first they're confused if it's the bugler going early.
You don't be praying it for it to stop. You'd be like, okay. But then after 40 seconds, you're like holy shit, this might be something special.
It would be hard every year after to actually observe Remembrance Day.
You'd be remembering a new thing.
You have to move the date.
It's your date now. The RSL says to the father, hey, you've earned this.
At least maybe not 1994, but 95, once it appeared in the listicle, it's official.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that. So audio and all, so you'd get the book and at the back there'd be like a CD or something.
Yeah, a hyperlink.
Here we go. I'll just put this on.
CD-ROM.
I've also got follow-up questions about the farmer.
Yeah.
That's wild. Well, can you read it again?
A banana farmer armed with automatic rifles and chainsaws performed a heist of palm tree seeds.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, it's compact, but a lot has been done in that one sentence. Banana farmer is a lot of fun to say as well. So I'm happy for you to get me to repeat as much as you like.
Banana farmer. And then Big Sheila.
Big Sheila.
Nike store. And what was the... is there one more?
Savage Garden.
Oh, Savage Garden. I mean, how could I forget?
Well, so this is in Brisbane. The palm tree... what were the palm trees?
No, it's not in Brisbane. It's in Queensland.
Queensland somewhere. Okay. Queensland somewhere.
Big state, Saran.
It is a big state.
We'd obviously only ever visit, at most, the southern end of it. But even that's getting pretty humid, I think.
Yeah, we wouldn't be going anywhere. They've got palm tree seeds.
No.
Banana farmers with assault rifles.
Yeah. Maybe winter time in Brisbane.
Maybe.
Which I think is when we're going to be there.
And they do love a big Sheila up there. They love big things.
Yeah.
And that's how Sheila's I have so many boyfriends from.
Oh, mate. Honestly, this might be the trickiest one I've ever had to answer, Matt.
Mm.
And I think I'm going to go with my heart again, human nature.
Human nature, I love it.
Which is
Savage Garden. Human nature.
Hang on. It has the same vibes.
Nature to go with your heart.
I actually get them mixed up a lot. And I know when the songs are on, I'm like, I know, I just get the names mixed up. So you're telling me this is Savage Garden. Well, that's not my heart at all. No, thank you.
Well, Savage Garden are a Queensland band, and Human Nature maybe are as well. I don't know. Is that where all the boy bands come from?
Yeah.
Powderfinger from there?
Powderfinger from Brisbane.
Think of them as a boy band?
Yeah, well, yeah. There's boys in a band. And, all right, for that reason, sorry, Savage Garden, I thought it was Human Nature. I'm going to go with the Big Sheila.
Okay.
Am I correct in this one? Have I said the right thing?
No, sorry, it's the Big Human Nature. I wish I could remember one of their names and I would have used it there. But all right, locking that in for Dave. What do you think, Beck?
I was going to go for the Big Sheila, and then also, because, I mean, I've been around Brisbane, as we all know at this point. I do know that the Grand Plaza is a real shopping centre.
Okay.
A very good shopping centre. But I also...
it's a very good gig to get.
I mean, it's a great gig. It's honestly, I'm dying to be booked there. Don't know who books it. If anyone has a hookup, please let me know. Get into the DMs.
Well, I can tell but you also, human nature don't.
Yeah. They've never been invited. Slap in the face of the boys.
But also, Queensland is, I mean, beholden to many banana tragedies. I mean, they had that cyclone that, you remember this? Like, I think it was like the early 2000s. There was a cyclone that wiped out so many banana farms that it knocked out like an entire species. And now that's why bananas taste different, because we had to like import another species because all the bananas,
and the price went up. I
remember when they weren't expensive. I didn't realize we lost a species though.
Yeah.
Well, finally learning on the show.
I don't think it was
also
a storm.
I have another banana fact if you would like it.
I would like
so
it.
So the reason that banana... sorry, I didn't actually ask if wait for permission. I just went straight into it.
Three yeses here.
That's a yes from me.
So banana, you know how banana lollies don't taste anything like bananas? It's because the flavor, the banana that we got the original flavor from, again, is extinct. So bananas used to, a certain strain of banana used to taste like that, but now we don't
That's
have
so
it.
That's so convenient. That's such a convenient. The confectionery company.
Alan's is like, no, this is actually really accurate to what they tasted like.
I love banana lollies. That's so disappointing that I can't get an actual banana that tastes like that. I love that flavor.
Mm, I'd eat so much more fruit.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Banana Rambo is my answer.
Are you sure it was a storm or did this guy just commit banana genocide?
Yeah, automatic rifles and chainsaws.
It's too much.
Mm. I mean, yeah, they're serious about bananas there. He knew. Yeah, he knew something was coming.
Yeah. And
it's diversifying into the palm tree trade.
And this is 3 years before Port Arthur, so it is possible.
Right.
Don't you think? You've done the maths on that.
1993.
That's right, yeah. There are a lot more guns in Australia.
Yeah. All right. I was just talking about our greatest Prime Minister's legacy, whatever. I think it is, 1993 as well, 7 years before the Sydney Olympics. And I reckon Savage Garden, they played at the Sydney Olympics. 7 years seems about a right time to go from playing at the Grand Plaza to the opening ceremony.
Right, so you feel like if you're in a band at the 7 year mark, if you haven't been invited to an Olympics, you're a failure.
7 years from the Grand Plaza.
Yeah, great.
You may as well get Plan B up and running.
Yep. Pack it in. Your time's coming.
Get
gone.
Into banana farm. I think it's Savage Garden played at the Grand Plaza.
All right.
What about Human Nature though?
They've never. They would never be invited to the Grand Plaza. That you even thought that. Says a lot about.
I think I have really high hopes for the future of Human Nature. I think they could be invited there one day off the back of their Vegas residencies.
They're from Sydney. Just look that up. Fun fact.
Right.
Where Savage Garden from Brisbane.
But Human Nature could have toured.
That's true.
Well, yeah.
They could have done Broadway Shopping Centre. And then the guys there were like, whoa, you've got something. We're going to the big leagues.
No, but this is their first ever performance. So you're thinking they went up to Logan to do their first ever live performance. Yeah, and to me, that's just a bit far-fetched.
They said, if it's good enough for Savage Garden, it's good enough for us.
I don't think, because it would take ages to just do the Westfields alone in Sydney. I don't think they're going up to.
Yeah. This is a lifetime of Westfield gigs.
All right, here's who wrote the answers. The minute silence being observed an hour later because of the cows. That was Seren. The Nike store opened
answer.
With giving away 1,000 small shoes. That was Dave Warnocky. A near riot ensued. Was that a shoe pun?
I think
pun
they're called shoe? Baby shoes. I think they're not miniatures for children.
Oh, no. In my mind, as the creator of this lie, they were just models, and so no one could wear them.
Like
they
key
were,
rings.
They
sort
were
of.
Filled in. They were filled in. They poured concrete into each to prevent you from wearing them.
The longest ever fart being recorded, that was Hannah and Iggy, aka The House.
Yes, that's Hannah. So good.
That does take two people to write. So.
Yeah. Then we had The Big Sheila, stolen from the Mitcheltown Square. Dave went for that. That was The House.
Oh, really?
I banged that out late as well because I realised I had a free slot there.
Wow. Hail Mary.
Me sad. I really was already getting excited to go read more about The Big Sheila after we stopped recording.
I wonder, could there be a... Have I just copied that from real life, A Big Sheila? Let's see. No. There's a children's novel known as Sheila the Great.
This is a real Human Nature Savage Garden kind of situation.
This is an urban legend that we could easily start and be like, you hear about the tragedy of the Big Sheila. It would have been as big as the pineapple and the prawn, but unfortunately, she was gone too soon.
So Dave gave a point to The House there.
Sorry, everyone.
Saran went for Savage Garden. That was Beck.
Oh, well done, Beck.
Yes, I used my insider Brisbane knowledge to fool you.
And you told us as well. Yeah, you did well.
I played... Well, also, a bit of BTS, if you don't mind. My current boyfriend, who is from Brisbane, is actually at the Grand Plaza right now as we speak. Yeah.
Any performances?
He's so actually picking up some miniature shoes that he cannot wear.
Yeah, full of concrete.
And then he's doing a tight five in the food court.
And
7 years he'll be doing the Olympics.
Beck, you also used your knowledge to get the correct answer. Banana farmer armed with automatic rifles and chainsaws performed a heist of palm tree seeds.
Yes.
So.
Wow.
Aren't palm tree seeds just available on palm trees?
Yeah, I think that's where they were. That's where I guess that's what the chainsaws were for.
Yeah, okay. The assault rifles seem so over the top.
Yeah. All right. We're up to the final question now. A quick score check going into it. Dave and Serena on 1 point. Beck on 7 points, but out in front still on 9 points. It's the house.
Whoa.
But going into the final round, it is worth triple points. So it is still literally anyone's game. If Serena or Dave get maximum points in this final round, they can leap to the front.
Can you imagine?
I think I've done that once before.
Yeah, that does feel like your kind of thing. All right, the final question comes from Adam O'Reilly from Dublin in Ireland. And the question is, what is the plot of the 2001 Irish short film Corca Milish, which translates to The Cake? What is the plot of the 2001 Irish short film Corca Milish, the English translation being The Cake? While you're writing your answers, here's some more information about that palm tree heist. This is from the Queensland Police website. And apparently the operation was called Foxtail Palm. In the early 1990s, Fauna Squad police became aware of possible large-scale criminal activity in one of Queensland's most remote national parks, Cape Melville National Park, on the east coast of Cape York Peninsula. The intelligence received was that criminals were dealing guns and drugs and making death threats to others involved in the illegal harvesting of the foxtail palm. The palm grew naturally within the national park and was/is unique to Cape Melville, although very hardy and readily available within the community, albeit by unlawful means. The popularity of the palm increased and it was marketed interstate and overseas. Criminal gangs would harvest the seed pods from high in the tall palms using long poles with saws affixed. Each pod could contain up to 200 seeds, which were then sold for $2 each initially, the price increasing depending on the eventual market. So yeah, that was from the police's website, but Iggy and Hannah also write that. So it was the banana farmer as well as a Vietnam War vet who had the automatic rifles and chainsaws, and they did the heist. And apparently it spun the Queensland government into turmoil, resulting in a political corruption investigation. So it had all these widespread effects. And the trees specifically were unknown beyond the local Aboriginal community until 1978. And then within 15 years, there's this huge black market involving drugs and weapons.
Wow.
Trying to go about it. And that's why I think Hannah says that we, brackets white people, can't have nice things. All right. The final question is worth triple points, and here it is. What is the plot of the 2001 Irish short film Corca Milish, aka The Cake?
Oh my god, it's a short film.
Yours opens with a
Saran,
free
let's be real, as if you were going to write a short answer anyway.
My answer might be longer than the script.
Best friends Brendan and Paul discover a magical cake that replenishes itself each time a slice is taken. Things get out of hand when the boys return from a weekend away to find the cake has grown exponentially. Now they need the town's help to eat all the cake in one sitting and stop it from engulfing the whole world. A poor Irish teen can't afford a present for his sister's birthday, so endeavours to build the largest sand sculpture his country has ever seen, a mound that he says is a birthday cake. But when the local council deem it a health hazard and order its destruction, the boy and the community camp out on the beach to stop the bulldozer. That's option two. Option three, the story of a girl who had an unfortunate birthday mishap. It was the first ever footage of a woman sitting on a cake that has now been popularized in the film genre pornography. A blind man boards a train and sits across from an exhausted businesswoman. The man attempts to strike up conversation, but things take a turn when the woman, annoyed at being disturbed, tells the man that there is a worm in his cake. This causes him to panic and suffer an asthma attack, and she takes this opportunity to move his inhaler out of his reach before disembarking the train, leaving him to die.
Whoa.
And his defense was talking to her?
Yeah. Oh, how's it going? Oh, this guy is too much. A birthday cake forgotten on a bus seat is brought to life by fairies. The cake must now make its way through the bustling streets of Dublin, dodging hungry dogs and sweet-toothed children to reach little Sean's party before his birthday is ruined. Or finally, the cake. On a sunny Cork day, a brief and unexpected rain shower occurs, and sure enough, a rainbow forms. While it's a beautiful sight for the locals, it's terrible news for Grebo, the local leprechaun. He spent all the gold from his pot. As a band of locals begin their search for the end of the rainbow, Grebo has no choice but to enter a nearby cake baking competition. Can Grebo bake a cake good enough to win first prize? A pot of gold? A riveting tale of love and hardship that must be seen to be believed. 4.5 stars, Roger Ebert. Okay.
Wow, 4.5 stars.
Yeah, that's a good...
On his 4-star system, incredible.
I think he has a different system for short films.
Oh, okay, sorry.
He has more stars for less film. So you got the...
I love the name Grebo.
Grebo's great.
Love that name.
So you got the self-replenishing cake that's going to take over the world. The Irish teen who builds the sandcastle. You got the new porn cake sitting one. Blind man boarding the train killed by the businesswoman, sort of. Birthday cake being forgotten on a bus seat, and it's got to get to Sean's party. Or Grebo the leprechaun who enters a baking competition to win back a pot of gold. Who wants to go first here? Anyone feeling anything?
All right. Well, I feel like one that's jumping out to me is blind man asthma attack.
Okay.
I could see that. You haven't said where this has come from. That could be like a student film maybe.
Where's it? Can you repeat it? Because where's the cake come into that?
He has an asthma attack because she says, there's a worm in your cake.
Oh, that is one of the common symptoms. Of.
All right, locking that in one, that one in for Dave.
That's for me.
Anything jumping out at you, Saran?
It's a short film.
Mm. Yeah, so I think all of these pretty much tell the story beat by beat.
I think, yeah, the cake. I feel... I don't like... Could it be none of them?
None of the above?
I don't like any of them.
It's not which one would you like to see.
I'll go with the... what was the... if you could read one more time. The one about the... I don't remember any of them.
What about Grebo? Do you remember Grebo?
That's the only one I do remember.
You gotta remember Grebo. Yeah, he's such a lovable character.
Grebo. There's the one left on... The fairies bring one to life. The one Dave...
Oh, the bus. Yeah, I think it's the bus. The fairies... The cake is left behind on the bus.
All right. And, yeah. Guessing an animated one. All right, that's for Saran. That leaves you, Beck. The one with a real chance of winning.
I'm torn between... Never Ending Cake, but I do think in terms of like a short film budget, that's very hard to film a Never Ending Cake. I do with the train, the blind man on the train, that's one location shoot. That can be done, I think, you know, 2 days tops. I think I'm going to have to go with the train one as well.
You two have gone together a few times.
And it has not served me well. I am on about 0 points.
No, you're on 1 point.
Thank you.
But it seems to have served Beck well somehow.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Best friends Brendan and Paul discovering the magical cake that replenishes itself. That was Adam, aka The House.
Oh, that was a close shave.
A poor Irish teen can't afford a present for his sister's birthday, endeavors to build the largest sand sculpture his country's ever seen. That was Dave Warnicky. Yep. I thought that sounded to me like a short film.
It sounded like a movie.
You know, like it's sort of kind of slightly depressing.
Yeah, it sounded Irish. Yeah.
Yeah, depressing but charming.
No, but not in a bad way. They do that great.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially a lot of their novels. Fantastic work.
I guess it's got Colin Firth in it.
Yeah. Yeah,
a young Colin. Not, sorry, Colin Farrell, I mean. Young Colin Farrell.
I imagined, yes.
Yeah. The thing that didn't work for me was there was a cake. Like maybe if it was the castle or something. Yeah.
That's what I wrote, which he calls a cake.
The story of the girl who had an unfortunate birthday mishap. First ever footage of a woman sitting on a cake. That was Beck.
That was very funny.
Thank you.
It's, the film genre, porn.
It says a lot about me. That's the first thing that I thought of. I was like, well, obviously, that's got to be in there.
And is this like a genuine, like, that's a like a cliche of videos, women sitting on cakes?
I've heard of. I haven't dabbled myself in the cake sitting. I don't think I'm there on the spectrum yet.
Actually, that's why I knew it wasn't that, because it started in Slovenia.
The sunny Cork day with the brief unexpected rain shower and the leprechaun Greybo. Am I saying that right, Seren?
Greybo, yeah. Greybo.
A fantastic work. Did you know that Roger Ebert's system was out of 4 stars?
No.
I didn't know. I didn't pick that up either, but Dave saw it straight away.
How does Greybo sound in an Irish accent?
Greybo.
Perfect. No notes.
Yeah, we'll never know, I guess. Seren went for a birthday cake forgotten on a bus seat, brought to life by fairies. That was also Adam, the question writer, aka the
well
house.
Done, Adam. Great mind, Adam.
So a point there. That means Dave and Beck are correct. It's a blind man boarding a train.
Well done, Beck.
And an angry businesswoman
well done,
basically
you.
Lets him die.
Yeah.
After causing him to, I guess, yeah.
She's doing him a favour.
Did she get done there?
He could have lived but eaten a worm.
No, I don't think there was a worm.
Oh, she just made up the worm.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think she made up the worm. I think she made up the worm, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, right.
And the man was played by Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that does seem like a movie he would be in.
Yeah. So that means, carry the two, put the scores in here, come back, I'm going to tabulate these.
So the Colin Farrell thing wasn't that far off.
No, it was quite, you were, when you said that, I'm like, you are in the ballpark here. Of the short film, Adam writes, you're Irish, fucking hell. Adam writes, your Irish listeners should all get a kick out of this question since we've all had to study this film in school.
Oh.
It's very polarizing and generally people either view it as a dark, I don't know if comedic is the right word, masterpiece, or traumatizing. There's no in between. The people love it or hate it apparently over there.
Wow, that's their Tim Winton novel.
A lot shorter for them. There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
So in that final round, the house got a point, Beck and Dave got points. So the final scores are on 1 point, Seren Jayamana.
He's done it again.
On 4 points, in third place, Dave Warnicky.
Thank you.
But the joint winners on 10 points, it's Beck and the house.
Beck and the house.
No way. I'll take it. Look, I would like to look over the scores and, you know, just if I could look over the sheets, make sure that everything's chill,
yeah.
You know, and make sure that everyone has their phone on the desk next time, just some feedback. But yeah, no, that's great. Thank you so much.
Well done. So Beck, just for people who are wanting to see your hour of comedy, where can they find it?
Largest streaming service in the world, YouTube. Type in Bipolar Baby or Beck Charlwood. I mean, if you type in Bipolar Baby, there is a song by Forever Sickest Kids that they are not related at all. Please don't affiliate them with each other. It's a very bad song. But yeah, if you type Beck Charlwood Comedy, Bipolar Baby, it should come up. And also on Instagram, I'm at Charl Beckwood, and then Beck Charlwood absolutely everywhere else. And I have a new podcast coming out next year with Alex J after we shut down our old podcast, Dude Cinema, because we were sick of watching movies for dudes. So very excited for that.
I always felt a bit of shame when I saw the movies you do, because I'd hardly seen any of them. I'm like, what kind of dude am I?
Yeah, disappointing.
No, it did get that. I mean, that is kind of why we started wrapping up, because it did get to a point where we're like, I don't think anyone's, except for specific dudes in our DMs, have seen these movies. We right. really started scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I love the episode where you reviewed the cake.
Yeah,
we'll bring it back for one more special episode.
I think that was a real dude film, that one where the woman sits on the cake.
Yeah.
Saran, where can people find you?
Instagram at Saran Comedy, and also in the following cities: Adelaide, Brisbane, Perth, and Melbourne during their respective festivals.
Yes.
I'll be going to do a show called Dryer Dryer with
Can't
Matt
wait. And you'll be doing
Stewart.
This podcast live, I think, in Perth.
Yes, which will be really fun. You knew it with Matt Stewart live. And then also, Good Tucker is available on SBS On Demand.
Award winning.
Yeah, that's true. Last time I was here, we hadn't won an award yet. And then the final plug, I just finished, we just wrapped the season of Question Everything, which is on the ABC, which is a really good show. You should check it out.
Yeah, and you were on a few times.
Yeah, I was on one of the episodes. But it's the return of the panel show.
Oh, it's finally, it's back.
They never went away. But yeah.
Have you been on it, Beth?
No. I've been to one of the rehearsals, and Saran was very professional.
Okay.
I don't book it. That's why it took me 3 years to get on.
And Dave, how about you?
You can check out our podcast, Do Go On, at any time, as well as my other show, Book Cheat. Also available at any time.
I think I was on, I'm probably on the episode coming out this week, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. This is coming out after that, then?
Yeah, I think your book cheat will be out this Tuesday.
Correct.
Yeah, it'll be out tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic. Well, check it out.
And hang around, for there'll be outtakes probably at the end of this. Beck said some pretty crook stuff, and we can't put that after the song. So hang around for that. But thanks so much for joining us, you three. We're fantastic. Yeah, here again. Great to have the carryover champion once again.
Undefeated. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
Please check out everyone's stuff. Give us a 5-star review if you want to. Why wouldn't you want to? Are you mean? I don't think you are. I think you're a great person. I think you should give it a 5-star review. And even if you're brutally honest in the words you say, just do it with a 5-star review. And maybe tell your friends if you know anyone who might enjoy it. Cheers for tuning in to Who Knew with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye. What's going on?
Hey, you okay over there?
I'm not sure. I feel weird.
It's been a long year.
I only just got out of bed. It is 3:00 in the afternoon.
Wow. What time did you go to bed?
Ooh.
Or was this a nap scenario?
No, I just never got up.
Love that.
Never got up. I'm slowly becoming the grandparents from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
You got 3 others in the bed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Top to tail?
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, you better believe if there's a chocolate factory tour going on, I will be leaping out.
Clicking heels.
The answers are in for question number one. Here are your options. So I'm so sorry, Beck.
I'm having a great time. Don't you apologize.
Met a couple of times. I don't know. Have I ever had it together? Or is this just standard for how we've interacted in the past?
Well, we've never actually podcasted together, so this is my first and best experience podcasting with you.
I can tell you.
And only. And last.
I've been podcasting with this guy for 8 years, and this always happens.
Yeah, this is pretty sad. The fact that I feel weird doesn't mean that it's coming across any differently.
Also, what life has taught me is when someone forcefully tells you they're having a good time, they're having a great time. Yeah.
Guys, okay? I can't put this any strongerly. Strongerly, oh dear. I don't know if I've ever had an Irish coffee.
Would you start with 1,000 liters?
I think I'd jump in, literally into the vat, and I wonder what it'd be like. Have you ever thought about being inside a drink and drinking it from the inside? You know,
I was gulping it down.
Yeah,
I've never thought about that, but I'm thinking about it right now.
Because you love pies, would you? If they made like a spa sized meat pie,
yes.
Would you be up for jumping in and sort of just eating it? Eating, you know?
Yeah. But it depends how hot it is.
Yeah. Well, it'd have to be,
warm but not burning me.
Mm.
or if I'm wearing some sort of suit.
I think they probably would have to build like a giant bain-marie and it would just be sitting there staying warm enough.
Yeah, okay. That's a yes from me.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, Becca, when I'm cutting the answers across, there'll be some silences, so it'll be edited out. But feel free to say something really funny if you want to.
Oh, God, now the pressure's on. Now you said it twice. I'm like, oh, be funny. And that's all I can think is, like, be funny and then no jokes.
Well, no, that's why we've got Serenity.
It's too much. It's too much.
You and David here to take the game seriously.
That's right. Well, I am now because you tell me trying looks good on me.
It looks really good.
I am grossly competitive. I have had a lot of people take me aside at trivia nights and be like, you need to calm down.
Well, I want to see that side of you here tonight.
That's great.
I'm like, yeah, but they're clearly on their phone. They clearly go to the bathroom and checking their phones. And they're like, but we're here to have fun. Okay.
I followed them in. They were on their phone.
Yeah.
I think.
They said they were chatting with their mum who's sick, but I don't believe them. Not for a second.
I said, put me on. Let me talk to her.
All right. While you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break. Da-na-na-na.
Because I'm sending all of these answers to you on Instagram, Matt. I can't wait till like a year from now when I go to send you a message for something and I just read it. I'm like, what the f- is that?
It's funny, yeah. Amy, who was on last week, Amy Ruff was on last week, and she messaged me the other day and said, oh, my heart just stopped for a second when I saw all these unanswered messages I'd sent you. Like, what was that? It was a late night barrage. Oh, thank God.
Oh, my God, did I get drunk late at night and start naming deep sea fish?
I mean, these are good answers coming in already, I gotta tell you. The quality's lifting round by round, and it started great.
Started absolute rock bottom.
It started hot, and it's hotting up since.
Oh, my God. It's volcanic in here.
Yeah. Almost, struggling to breathe. The heat of some of these answers. Okay, just for the listeners, Soran and Beck have had their answers in for 5 to 10 minutes.
Is that serious?
And you know how long I write my answers, Dave.
That's not serious. Of course not, Dave. You're doing a great job.
Matt just spoofed you.
I was just spoofing you, Dave. Dave's having none of my spoof. Which, I come from, Australia, is rude.
This is really long.
No, it's not. I've deleted so many. I've been like, how about this one? No, that doesn't work.
He's also messaging his wife. Sorry, I'm doing this stupid fucking podcast. I'll be out soon.
If it's a long title, it's a Panic at the Disco parody for sure.
Sorry?
If it's a long title, it's a Panic at the Disco song parody for sure. I'd love to know what the parody of Lying is the Most Fun a Girl Can Have Without Taking Her Clothes Off.
Oh, don't give it away. Frying is the most fun. And then it's all about using...
frying is the most fun a girl can have without turning the oven on.
God, that's good. God, that's good.
Matt, I'm so sorry if you can hear, or all of you can hear my stomach making the craziest noises right now.
No,
I apologize.
I couldn't hear any of it.
Oh, I should have just kept my mouth shut then, shouldn't I?
Yeah, we can't hear it.
Yet. We'll enhance it in post. Enhance.
Matt, one of us has to be really funny on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. Who's going to play that role this week? No one's putting their hand up so far.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.